Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Arena REIT FY 2022 results teleconference. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Rob de Vos, Managing Director. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much, operator, and good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to Arena REIT's results presentation for the 2022 financial year. Our announcement, investor presentation, and financial statements were released to the ASX earlier this morning. My name's Rob de Vos, Arena's Managing Director. Joining me on the call today is Gareth Winter, Arena's Chief Financial Officer. Our presentation today will include a summary of highlights for the financial year and an update on our performance against strategy. Gareth will provide insights and detail into Arena's financial results and capital management position, and I will close the presentation with an update on portfolio operations and commentary on Arena's positive outlook in a changing investment environment. As always, there'll be an opportunity for questions at the end of the presentation. Moving into the presentation on page three, and despite the lingering direct and indirect impacts of the pandemic, changing work patterns, increased inflation, and increased interest rates, the community need for the services that Arena accommodates has remained strong. In this context, I'm pleased to report that financial year 2022 has been another successful year for the business. We've made solid progress against our investment objective and ultimately achieved strong outcomes for our investors and ongoing positive outcomes for the many communities across Australia that rely on the essential services delivered from our tenant partners at Arena-owned properties. Arena's highlights for the financial year 2022 include a record statutory profit of 334 million dollars and underlying cash-based net operating profit of 56 million dollars, which is up 8.4% on financial year 2021. We've seen further valuation growth across the portfolio, contributing to an increase in the asset value, which is up 32% over the 12-month period. We've made further positive steps on our sustainability programs and are pleased to announce today that Arena REIT has been certified carbon neutral by Climate Active for business operations in 2021-2022. We've also advanced our sustainability programs across our investment portfolio, with solar renewable energy systems now installed at over 200 properties, including 100 installations that were completed in the last 12 months. We've completed six early learning center development projects and replenished the development pipeline, which will support future earnings growth. We upgraded our financial year 2022 distribution during the period to 0.16 per security, which reflected an 8% increase on financial year 2021. Today, we are providing distribution guidance for financial year 2023 of 0.168 per security, reflecting an increase of 5% on financial year 2022. Moving to the next slide. In an environment of heightened external risks, it is Arena's high conviction on maintaining our discipline and executing on our strategy that has underpinned positive outcomes. The highlights for the period under the team's key focus areas are under portfolio management. We've sold two early learning centers that, relative to the balance of the portfolio, were less efficient and had lower utilization. They were sold for total proceeds of 10.1 million dollars and a premium of 15% to book value. We've seen further valuation growth across the portfolio of 254.5 million dollars for the 12 months. That passing yield on the portfolio is now 4.91%, having compressed by 86 points over that 12-month period. Our long portfolio WALE has been maintained with lease extensions and WALE accretive new projects and being delivered throughout financial year 2022. The portfolio remains 100% occupied, which has been the case for over six years and highlights the quality of the assets, the strong underlying fundamentals that support the social infrastructure sector, and the proactive management programs undertaken by the Arena team and our tenant partners. Average rental growth was 4.1% across the portfolio, and the escalation mechanisms in our leases are doing exactly what they are designed to do, providing investors real growth in a low inflation environment, as has been the case up until recently, and maintain their real value in a higher inflation environment as we are in now. During the period, we made further progress on our renewable energy program that is focused on collaborating with our tenant partners and installing and promoting the use of solar and reducing the energy intensity of our portfolio. These activities will reduce the operating costs of our tenants in an environment of otherwise steep increases in operating costs and reduce carbon emissions by approximately 2,700 tons per annum. We've received 100% of our contracted rent due in financial year 22, including all the deferred rent payable under the COVID relief programs struck back in financial year 20. We've acquired 7 operating properties, 6 in South Australia and 1 in Melbourne. All have been acquired on our preferred long-term triple net lease and in aggregate cost $47 million and have provided a net initial yield on all costs, including transaction costs, of 5.4% and an initial weighted average lease term of 24 years. We've completed 6 early learning centre developments, and these projects had a total investment cost of $36 million and a net initial yield on all costs, again, including transaction costs, of 6.4%. We've also replenished our development pipeline with the acquisition of 9 new early learning centre development sites. Each project has been pre-committed on a new 20-year triple net lease, and combined they have a forecast cost of $56 million. Moving now to an update on our sustainability programs. And as you've heard from me before, sustainability is fundamental to our investment approach. And we believe that that best positions the business and our stakeholders to achieve positive long-term commercial outcomes. With a disciplined investment process and being an internalised manager with strong governance protocols means that we are aligned with our investors for the long term. We're looking for sustainable growth and quality in our financial metrics, not short-term balance sheet scale. Arena's portfolio facilitates access to essential community services that provide a positive social impact. We work with our tenant partners to invest the capital necessary to provide efficient, flexible and well-located accommodation at sustainable rents, allowing them to focus on their core purpose to deliver essential services to communities throughout Australia. Further detail in relation to our sustainability activities will be provided in our 2022 sustainability report, which is scheduled to be released in late September. The key outcomes over the period include an increase in collaboration with our tenant partners, including undertaking tenant workshops as part of our Partnerships for Positive Change program, a material increase in renewable energy, and reducing our tenant partners' utility costs and reducing those negative impacts on the environment. With improved action on climate change, including greenhouse gas inventory of Arena's financed emissions, and inaugural TCFD aligned climate risks and opportunity disclosures. We've been certified carbon neutral by Climate Active for business operations in 21-22 and analysed operations and supply chains to assist us to voluntarily opt into modern slavery reporting. I'll now pass you over to Gareth to provide further detail on our financial results.
Thanks, Rob, and good morning, everyone. Just turning to page 7 of the presentation, you will find a summary of Arena's operating income statement for the year, which shows an 8% increase in net operating profit to $56 million and a statutory profit of $334 million for the year. And there's a reconciliation of net operating profit to statutory profit included in the appendix of the presentation, with the most substantial reconciling item being the periodic revaluation of investment property. Our operating EPS of 16.3 cents is 7% higher than the prior period, with the key driver of the increase in operating income being the 11.3% increase in property income, which has been derived from a combination of rent reviews and capital deployment. Like-for-like rent reviews averaged 4.1% for the year, noting that over 80% of rent reviews in FY22 had a direct link to CPI outcomes. For comparison, the national quarterly CPI averaged 4.4% during the FY22, and using a national annual rate is a simplified way of looking at our CPI-based rent reviews, as the actual reviews are staggered throughout the year and use state-based quarterly CPI measures. The recent higher quarterly CPI prints will provide further inflation protection to our cash flow into FY23 and FY24. Also contributing was Arena's ongoing program of investment in ELC developments and new acquisitions, which contributed earnings via capital deployment of $105 million in FY22, including the completion of 6 ELC developments with total capex of $36 million, the addition of 9 new ELC development projects to the pipeline with capex of $56 million, and the acquisition of 7 operating ELCs in conjunction with tenant partners for $47 million. We've also continued our program of selective capital recycling with proceeds of $10 million from the sale of 2 ELCs during the year at a 15% premium to book value to be reinvested into the development pipeline. Some specific comments on rent collections for the year. Arena's portfolio has continued to demonstrate high resilience. There are no rent arrears and all contracted rent is being received, including the collection of $1 million of deferred rent in the year. Our COVID-related rent deferrals were relatively short-term, with only $1 million of deferred rent still to be collected by December 23. Deferred rent has been previously recognised as income and is booked as a receivable with only the cash to be collected. Just looking at some other items, property expenses, whilst relatively small on the scale of things, primarily increased due to additional allowances for independent valuation costs and property inspections and from growth in the portfolio. Looking at operating expenses, there's been a relatively modest increase in operating expenses compared to the comparative period from FY22, which we highlighted at the half year. This is due to a combination of factors such as corporate insurance and custodian fees and also building our ESG capabilities, but it's substantially due to the implementation in FY22 of the outcome of an independent remuneration review completed in late FY21. The REM review was focused on making sure ARENA's remuneration framework was in line with contemporary market practice and the remuneration of ARENA's team was in line with market and importantly in the current environment was to assist with staff retention. I note that it has been 4 years since the last independent REM review was performed. Pleasingly, and this is the benefit of the internalised management platform of delinking costs to asset values, is that whilst property revenues increased by $6.8 million in the year, OPEX increased by less than $500,000, and our cash MER remains well below 40 basis points. Our expectation is that underlying costs will not grow at the same rate in FY23. Increase in finance costs is due to a combination of factors, the most substantial being a higher operating debt balance from the completion of 20 development projects over the past two financial years, which moved them from a period of capitalisation of interest in WIP to operating and the commencement of rental payments, and the expansion of our debt facility by $100 million during the year to fund the development pipeline. Due to our ongoing high levels of hedging, the recent increases in floating rates have had only a very minor impact in the final quarter of FY22. Higher statutory profit of $334 million is primarily due to the growth in net operating earnings and also the positive asset revaluations of $254 million during the year. We've established FY23 distribution guidance of 16.8 cents per security, which represents growth of 5% on FY22. I think it's worthwhile touching on some brief comments around guidance this year. There is still a degree of uncertainty on future interest rate movements and inflation, and some obvious and substantial divergence between market rates and the views of a variety of market commentators, bank economists, etc., on where and when rates and inflation will stabilise. It's fair to say that we've left a bit more of a buffer in the distribution guidance this year than normal, and we will now see how the year unfolds. We have allowed for a further expansion in liquidity, an average BBSW across FY23 of circa 3%, with floating rates into the mid-threes by June 23, and also adding incremental hedging when required to maintain our hedging in the usual 70 to 80% range at the five-year swap rate. We're forecasting inflation at a quarterly annualised average of 6% across FY23, and there is obviously some complexity in the timing of the rent reviews occurring throughout the year. So the full contribution from a CPI review isn't necessarily occurring until FY24. Turning to page 8, the presentation, this is a waterfall chart demonstrating the relativity of the individual items supporting EPS growth, noting the impact in FY22 of the key drivers I've just discussed of growth in the rent reviews and the deployment of capital and acquisitions and developments, offset by OPEX and funding mix, which is primarily the expanded liquidity in the debt facility and the DRP. Turning to page 9, this slide presents a summary of ARENA's balance sheet. The full balance sheet is in the appendix to the presentation. Key points to note are the growth in total assets, primarily due to the $105 million invested in acquisitions and developments during the year, and the asset revaluations to $254 million, which is also the primary driver of the 32% increase in net assets per security. Net gearing at 20% is well below ARENA's maximum gearing range at circa 35 to 40%. However, this level of gearing continues to provide substantial capacity to fund existing pipeline developments and allows us to take advantage of further growth opportunities and also provides a buffer around any future market volatility. Turning to page 10, it's got a capital management summary. Our approach to capital management continues to prioritise resilience and risk reduction through relatively low gearing, ongoing high level of hedge cover, regular extension of debt facility terms, and maintaining immediately available liquidity in excess of our development commitments. During the year, the debt facility was expanded by $100 million, and at 30 June, we have over $100 million of immediately available liquidity to cover the $88 million of future development commitments. This liquidity, in combination with our modest gearing, allows us to actively consider further growth opportunities. The weighted average debt term of 3.4 years has no expiry before March 24, noting that our March 25 expiry was extended out to March 27 during the year. Our relatively high ongoing hedge cover of 77% at 30 June for a weighted average term of 4.3 years, combined with the natural inflation hedge provided by the rent review mechanisms that are directly linked to CPI outcomes, provides us with substantial protection of our net operating income in an environment where inflation and interest rates may rise. Our all-in cost of debt as at 30 June has shown a modest increase of 25 basis points from the prior year, which is reflective of the circa 100 bps increase in floating rates over the last quarter of FY22 on the unhedged portion of the debt. Finally, it is important to note that Arena is operating well within the requirements of our debt facility, and we have very substantial headroom in both our LVR and ICR covenants. I'll now hand back to Rob, who will update us on the Arena's property portfolio.
Great, thanks very much, Gareth. I'm now on page 12. As at 30 June, Arena owned 263 properties across Australia with a value of $1.46 billion. The portfolio is just over 70 hectares in the area, predominantly residentially zoned, with improvements that are purpose-built for our tenant partners. The portfolio accommodates over 25,000 families in their early learning needs across the country. Our healthcare portfolio contributes to meeting the primary healthcare needs of eight communities and higher acuity care of 35 people living with high physical support needs in our SDA portfolio. The growth in the demand for the services we accommodate, along with our and our tenant partners' disciplined and proactive management programs, has resulted in the portfolio being in an excellent position. In 20 years, the portfolio has the longest contracted rent profile in the REIT sector. To give that some context, the value of contracted future rent is well in excess of the current total portfolio value. We have an exceptionally strong occupancy record, having had no vacancy in over 6 years. The portfolio has low single asset concentration, with the largest single asset accounting for only 2% of the value of the portfolio. And the land and building rate remains at just over $2,000 a metre, which looks like compelling value when measured against other real estate asset classes. The passing yield is 4.91%, which has seen compression of 86 basis points in the last 12 months, which added with rent increases has provided valuation growth of just under 23%. So exceptional valuation growth in the period. In a more recent environment with increasing interest rates, we do see the likelihood of some yield expansion in real estate markets, including in the social infrastructure property sector. A mitigating factor for yield expansion is, of course, rental growth, for which the portfolio is well positioned, not only as a result of having strong occupancy and triple net leases and the fact that the vast majority of our leases escalate in line with inflation, but also our long-held focus of ensuring our rents had room for growth, so effectively coming from a lower base. Sector diversity for the portfolio has not materially changed in the period. Geographically, we have over 80% of the portfolio located in the high population eastern seaboard states. In terms of tenant diversification, we continue to improve our spread of tenant partners, now totaling 34, with 25% of Arena's income supported by Australia's largest early learning provider, Good Start. Moving on to the lease expiry on page 13, as you can see on the graph on this slide, we have less than 4% of the portfolio's income expiring prior to 2030, and no material concentration of expiries in any year to beyond 2045. These are very long-term cash flows that have contracted annual escalations, providing inflation protection in the current environment. All of the leases are triple net with no exposure to variable property expenses, so highly efficient and highly predictable. We have some very minor leasing to do this financial year at two properties in Brisbane and Perth, which combined equate to about 0.9% of income. We're confident of a positive outcome on both of these programs. The last point I want to make or emphasise on this slide is that every one of our early learning centre properties and our SDA properties provide us important business operating information that assists us in our asset management and capital allocation decisions, and has been an important tool in assisting the portfolio remain 100% occupied for over 6 years, and is particularly important in the current inflationary environment. Moving on to our rent profile on page 14, and here on this slide, we've broken down our rent review structures for financial year 23, 24 and 25. At the bottom of the first column on that graph, you can see that 79% of this financial year's income is subject to a review at the higher of CPI and a fixed amount, which is generally 2.5% to 3%, and moving up that column, 10.7% of this year's income is subject to a CPI-only increase. So if you add those two components together, that is the dark blue and dark grey components of the column, you can see that just over 90% of this financial year's income escalate in line with CPI. Further up the same column, we have 7.5% of fixed reviews, which average to around 3%, and 2.2% of income subject to a market review. These market reviews relate to 7 early learning centres. 4 of the reviews are capped and collared at between no increase and a 7.5% increase, and 3 are collared but have no cap on the increase. And it's a similar profile in each of financial year 24 and 25. However, in financial year 24, we have more market rent reviews totaling about 15% of that year's income. All of those reviews have a collar at the passing rent, so the rent can't go backwards. And half of the reviews are subject to a cap of a 7.5% increase, whilst the other half have no cap on an increase. Moving to page 15, the environment for development construction was challenging throughout financial year 22, particularly in the second half, with heightened construction cost inflation, extreme weather events, and more recently, higher interest costs for all contractors. In this context, we've seen relatively minor delays on some projects to date, and importantly, we've been sheltered from any meaningful economic impact as a result of the fund-through nature of our development programs, which provides contractual protections for time and cost overruns. 6 early learning centre projects completed in the financial year were located in metropolitan Brisbane and Perth. Each were designed to suit each individual's tenant's operations, and pleasingly, all of them are operating in line with our and our tenant partners' expectation in their first year of trading. 4 projects that we had originally anticipated completing in the second half of financial year 22 will now complete in the first half of this year, and in the absence of any worsening in the development and construction environment, we anticipate completing 12 projects over the course of financial year 23. Our origination programs continue to perform to our expectation. We've secured a targeted pipeline of quality early learning centre development projects that will complement the portfolio and deliver future earnings growth. Looking forward, our development pipeline has 20 early learning centre projects that are located in Queensland, Victoria, South Australia and New South Wales, with a total forecast cost of $139 million, of which we have capital expenditure outstanding of $88 million. We anticipate that the average initial yield on all costs, again including transaction costs for these development projects, will be 5.5%. Each of these development projects are again being undertaken on a fund-through basis, where Arena has contractual protection from cost and time variability. We've secured agreement for leases with existing tenant partners on every project in our standard 20-year triple net lease format. As you've heard from me before, Arena is a leader in early learning centre development in Australia and has an enviable record on executing on its development pipeline. By value, more than a third of our early learning centre portfolio has been developed by us since listing in 2013. In that time, we've completed 60 development projects with 14 tenant partners across all states and territories except the ACT. These projects have increased access to early learning services for over 7,000 children and provided our investors access to an excess of $22 million of current annual rent. Moving on to the next slide, a quick update on the early learning centre operating environment. Both major political parties recognise the importance of a well-functioning childcare system. Changes to the childcare subsidy that were implemented in March 22 by the previous coalition federal government have had the effect of reducing the out-of-pocket cost of childcare services by 4.6%, according to recently published ABS data. As has been well publicised, the newly elected Labor federal government has committed to further reduce the cost of childcare for Australian families by lifting the maximum childcare subsidy rate to 90% for the first child in care and maintain the 95% subsidisation rate for any subsequent child in care. The government has also proposed reducing the rate the childcare subsidy tapers and to increase the maximum family income threshold for eligibility from $354,000 to $530,000. This additional investment of about $5 billion is designed to provide a significant economic and social return to Australia, including increased workforce participation and ultimately higher tax receipts, better economic security, particularly for women, and improving the lifelong learning prospects of children, in turn creating better socially and emotionally well-adjusted communities and a more qualified and productive workforce for future generations. Demand for early learning services increased in the period, and the additional federal government subsidisation, which is proposed to be implemented in July 23, is designed to further increase demand for early learning services. The current challenge for the early learning operators that needs to be addressed to service that increased demand is a shortage of labour. Like most industries across Australia, the current labour pool is simply too low, and as a result, operators' labour costs have increased as businesses seek to retain and attract staff. It is our expectation, and more importantly, that of our tenant partners, that labour costs will continue to increase in the short term, which, added with increases across consumables and accommodation costs, will lead to increased daily fees. In relation to supply, there was a net increase of 224 centres across Australia in financial year 22, an increase of 2.7% in the 12-month period, which equals the lowest annual growth rate since 2016. There's no real surprises in these numbers from us, as the majority of those new centres in this period commenced development in the early stages of the pandemic, and activity was lessened due to the unknown impacts of COVID-19 at that time on the economy, childcare demand and construction processes. We expect that future periods will see higher levels of new supply due to the increased government support of the sector, and as smaller, less efficient and older centres continue to be replaced by newer, more efficient centres. Moving to the next slide, ARENA's early learning portfolio remains in a very strong position. We are 100% occupied, and we've collected 100% of contracted rent through financial year 22. Every one of our early learning centres is open and trading, and every one of those centres provides us business operating data, and that data provides us important information that assists asset management and capital allocation decisions, as well as providing insight into the general health of the sector. As we have in previous reporting periods, we've included operating data up to the quarter prior, and that data provides average underlying operator occupancy is in line with March 21, which was the highest rate in 5 years. Daily fees have increased to $120 per day, which remains significantly below the government's benchmark fee of $140 per day, which is indexed to inflation. As you can see on the graph at the bottom of the page, the government funding package continues to suit our early learning centre portfolio, which is typically geared towards middle-income families. And to give this some context, 96% of our early learning centres have daily fees under the government's childcare subsidy benchmark fee as of March. Our average rent per place across the portfolio has increased to $2,663 per place, and particularly given that we've developed more than a third of the portfolio over the last 9 years, remains highly affordable in our view. Despite strong rent increases across the portfolio, rent affordability as measured against gross revenue for our operators remains at under 11%. Moving on to the next slide, and an update in the healthcare sector and our portfolio. The healthcare portfolio continues to perform to our expectation, and like early learning, the macro trends for healthcare also remain positive. A higher number of people are moving into the older age brackets, and a higher proportion of the population is living with chronic illness, which underpins an increased need for healthcare services and the infrastructure to accommodate those services. Despite the prospect of some yield expansion in real estate markets, we continue to see increased investor interest in Australian healthcare property, which was reflected in further increases in the asset values for our healthcare portfolio. ARENA took advantage of the current environment to divest the PHC Darlinghurst property and wind up the trust and syndicate, which crystallised a 13.6 compound annual total return for those investors over a 20-year investment period. Whilst we continue to be attracted to new opportunities in the healthcare property market and aspire to grow as part of the portfolio, we'll be doing this in our usual disciplined way. We're looking for quality over the long term that will support our investment objective, not short-term scale. Moving on to the outlook, and today we are announcing full-year distribution guidance of for financial year 23 of 16.8 cents per security, an increase of 5%. The portfolio is in a strong position, 100% occupied, 100% of rent collected, a 20-year WALE with a transparent and highly predictable rental profile that has inflation protection. Income growth will be underpinned by those contracted annual rent increases, as well as the impact of our financial year 22 and 23 acquisition and development completions. Looking forward, despite the likelihood of further economic and geopolitical uncertainty, ARENA's outlook remains positive. Early learning and healthcare services are integral to economic stability and improving community outcomes. And those themes underpin ARENA's portfolio value and investment objective of providing long-term predictable distributions to our security holders with prospects for growth. We have balance sheet capacity to take advantage of new opportunities that are consistent with our strategy, with gearing at 20% and no debt expiry falling due until March 24. And our experienced management team has strong industry relationships and in-house development and origination expertise that will assist us in sourcing future opportunities and exploiting price dislocation should that occur. In closing, I'd like to thank our team and our tenant partners for contributing to the positive investment, portfolio and community outcomes that have been achieved in financial year 22. That concludes the formal part of today's presentation. So I'll now pass the call back to the operator to open up for questions. Thank you, operator.